Blog Talk Radio.
To the Spirit Alive Christian Ministries Broadcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. God bless you. I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am so blessed to be here once again on this Wednesday night to welcome you to Daughters of Naomi. Hallelujah. Today's date is, hallelujah, March the 8th, 2023, and we are so excited because tonight, hallelujah, one of our sisters has come drive by to visit with us on tonight, and the persons of Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. So we have invited, she has so graciously agreed, hallelujah, to stop by and share a word with us on tonight. And so I just pray, my brothers and my sisters, especially my sisters, that you have something to write with, to write on, to retrieve your Bibles, and prepare to receive Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. Now, let me remind some of you, if you haven't been walking with us this long, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter is a beautiful woman of God. She is someone that I am blessed to call my sister and my friend. Hallelujah. We have been in the trenches together. She was a faithful host here on the Spirit Alive Network. She had a great program called The Faith Cafe, where she did a phenomenal job. But most importantly about Evangelist Joyce Carpenter is she shines the light of Christ wherever she goes. So on tonight, we are truly blessed to have her back in the house and to bring a word to us on this evening. So my dear sister, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter, my dear, you have our undivided attention. Let the Lord use you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for having me. It's a pleasure as well as an honor. And to all the Spirit Alive Network family, because I still am a part of the Spirit Alive Network family. Pastor Cook says once you're a part of the family, you're a part of the family. So I praise God for you, Spirit Alive, Dr. Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa, and others that I'm not sure who all are still available, but I do remember that you're such gracious man and woman of God, integrity and moral standard. Praise God. And I admire you all because of your marriage or your long-lasting marriage. And nowadays you have so many people that they're changing spouses just like they change shoes. And I praise God when I see men and women of God that stand together and stick through the hard times, through the bad times. So praise God for you all, Spirit Alive family. And daughter
God bless
of Naomi, I say, wow, that's a wonderful name of Naomi. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to get right into it. But the title tonight, what I want to speak about is a good reputation. And that's going to be coming from Proverbs 22:1. That would be one of our foundation scriptures. I'm going to go into it a little bit later. But I'm going to go into Ecclesiastes 7:1 right now. A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. Now, it's telling you a good reputation, a good name is more valuable than the most expensive perfume there is. So that speaking, it says a lot. Your reputation, your name, and that speaks about your character. Praise God. Now, before I go any further, I want to open to just say a word, because I want the Holy Spirit. We've already prayed, but I want the Holy Spirit to speak through me. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Father God, for this day, for this is the day that you have made. And Father, I thank you and I rejoice in it, for you're the glory, you're the lifter of my head. And I thank you, Father, for you're our rock, our God, our fortress, our deliverer. Your name is a strong tower. You said the righteous run into it and they're safe. We thank you and we praise you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, I decrease as you increase. Holy Spirit, move in me, Father God. Speak through me that I would speak forth the oracles of you, Father God, where your word, Father God, would fall up on good ground, Father God, and that the hearers, Father God, would be doers of your word and not hearers only, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you and we give you the praise. We give you all the glory, Father God, for you're our help. Father God, for our help, it comes from you, and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. Even the highest, the most valuable cost of perfume, your reputation is more valuable than that. So reputation is character, what you're about, what you represent. And it's the latter part of that scripture says, and the day you die is better than the day you were born. You may say, whoa, better, you know, the day you die is better than the day you were born. Yes, that's what the word says. Now, when we live on this earth, when we die, we leave this earth, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And we will have to account for what we did, the things we've done in this earthly body. So how you live your life, how you conducted your life, how you treated people, what you did, was you a schemer, were you a lowlife? You're going to have to give an account for all that you've done, whether good or bad. Now, the good news is with that is that long as you have breath in your body, there's still time where we can make amends and we can make things right with God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Daughters of Naomi. Now, Naomi was an older woman, a mature woman, an aged woman. Okay? And Naomi was experienced in so many different areas. Naomi experienced some real tragedies in her life. She had to leave her homeland, which she and her husband, they were from Bethlehem, Judah, and they had to leave their homeland and go into a foreign land, which was Moab. And because of there was a famine there in Judah, in Bethlehem, so they went over to Moab because they heard this is where, you know, they had food over there. So they left, and her husband, Abimelech, he taken his family, his wife, and two sons. So they went over into the foreign, a pagan land. And once they got over there, Naomi's husband died. Then 10 years later, her two sons were killed. But her sons, they did leave wives because her sons married women that were Moabites, women of Moab, which were, you know, pagan country. So these were women that were pagan women. So the sons married them. So once things began to happen there in Moab, things dried up. So Naomi decided that she would go back to her homeland, which was Judah. So when she went back, she'd taken both of her daughter-in-laws with her. The one daughter-in-law, after she got there with Naomi, she decided that she would go back with her family. But the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, she stayed. Ruth stayed there with Naomi, and she told her where, you know, my people, your people, where you go, I will go. She stayed with her. Naomi represents wisdom. She was a woman of wisdom because she can help navigate. She can help navigate younger women, and she helped navigate Ruth through some things. So this is what older women do, and this is what the word tells us, that the older women are to teach the young women. That's Titus. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, and I'm going to look at it in the New Living Translation. It talks about the aged men, the how to age men, but we're focusing right now on what the aged women, because the aged women, the advice is similar to what the aged men are. And the aged women, he said, to be sober-minded. We, you know, and it's unfortunate now, the day and time we're living in, we have women that don't want to be older women, aged women, that don't want to be called mature women or aged women. Some of them are dressing just like, young women that's 20 and 25 years old.
Come on.
Their behavior is out there with these younger women. They have that kind of behavior as well, which is sad. Because God told us as we are older women, we're to be sober-minded. And you can't really think you're distorted when you've been drunk, drinking, and, you know, you all wigged out. So how can you be sober, you know, sober-minded to tell someone the truth and give them wisdom when you all jacked up yourself?
Come on.
And we're to be sound in the faith. That's what he told the older women, sound in faith, teachers, teaching them, being genuine with what you do. Other words, when you teaching, you teach by precept and by example. Be sound in love, genuine in your love, be pure, be patient. We got to be patient with the younger women. They're not all the time going to do exactly what's right. But we got to be patient with them. We got to continually teach them, be patient with them. Even if we got to sometimes just stand back and kind of like not argue with them, but stand back a little bit and just kind of maybe get upset, but just be patient with them. Don't let them go. Just stand with them and be patient. Because sometimes it's not easy. But we women, we are called to teach the young women. And not only just teach them, he didn't tell us to be patient with them. That's most of all being patient, because they are going to mess up. And some of them have mouths on them where they will talk crazy to you. But yet we're to be patient with them. And our behavior is to be a behavior as becoming holiness. Now, Naomi taught, like I said, she taught by precept. She taught by example. Naomi wasn't out there looking for some man that she can sleep with, somebody she can go knock boots with. She wasn't out there like that. She wasn't teaching. She wasn't teaching something crazy, telling Naomi Ruth to do something crazy. Told Ruth was, when she instructed Ruth, is when Boaz had saw Ruth out there in the field, Boaz had already recognized Ruth. He didn't know her name so much, but he asked, who is this damsel that came back with Naomi? And they told him, oh, that's Ruth. But he most admired the character that Ruth had. How she taking care of her mother-in-law, the kindness that he showed. That's what really got Boaz, was to see the character of Ruth. Now, he may have been interested in her, just seeing her, but he saw the character, and that's what he let her know about how kind she was to her mother-in-law. So that speaks a lot. Character is
yes,
huge.
Yes.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the word tells us too to not to be involved in slander and gossip. And some of the older women, they just be involved. It look like sometimes I get so disgusted and so frustrated that somehow the things that they get involved in, and yet we supposed to be an example to the younger women. You don't get involved in slaying and slandering people and gossiping. Some of them just manufacture things on people, just make up something, just so they don't like something or somebody, assassinate their character. And
yes,
that's definitely ungodly. So he's telling
Amen.
Us to not to be drunk, you know, because when you're drinking, that distorts your mind. You can't think clearly. All
yes.
intoxicated, you know, with alcohol, and some with drugs, pharmakia, you know, you all involved with drugs and alcohol, you know, how you can't think clearly. Your mind is all messed up. And verse 4, teaching the younger women to love your husband, to love your children, to live wisely. Now, if you to live wisely. Now, if you love your husband, You're a married woman. You love your husband. You're going to be at home taking care of your husband, taking care of your children. If you have children, you're going to be doing your wifely duties. So if you do all of that, you don't have no time for no foolishness, really.
Amen. Amen.
So,
mm-hmm.
You don't. You don't. I was married for nearly 30 years, and the Lord called my husband home. But I said, taking care of one husband is enough. I don't know how anybody can be involved with one or two, someone else outside of a marriage relationship.
Well.
Taking care of one is enough. But you have this kind of foolishness going on. It says, verse 5, to live wisely.
Yes.
As chaste women, pure, working in your homes. You know, I done been into people's homes, and it's unbelievable. You know, some of them, I mean, it's just as nasty and filthy. And here, and I wanted to say, didn't you know I was coming? Didn't you invite me over here? But yet and still, the house, you know, look a wreck. You ought to be a chaste woman where you're taking care of your home, you're cleaning, you're keeping your cooking your meals for your husband, your family, you're keeping your home clean, taking care of your home. You know, nobody should have to come to your house and then somebody at the door, and I've known people do this, people at the door, somebody ringing a doorbell and knocking at the door, they got to run and go straighten up. Don't let you in right away because they in there cleaning up before they let you in. That's not the way we live. Godly women shouldn't be living like that. We should be able to come to a godly woman's house at any time, and her house should be decent. And words say, do good and be submissive to your own husbands. Not somebody else's husbands, your own husband. Okay. Boy, it's quiet, huh?
Now, I was saying, man, but you know what? Hey, I'm listening.
And the word said that you don't bring them shame or shame on the word of God. So you won't, how we act, a bad wife is like rotten to the core, and it brings shame to the husband. So you don't want to bring shame, you know, to if you're a married woman, you don't want to be shamed. And if you're a single woman, all the more, you know, that you should have a good reputation.
Yes.
All the more. Mm-hmm. You should have good godly character. Ruth, as being that single woman, she, after her husband had died, you didn't hear Ruth getting involved in any kind of where she was hitting it with this and that person. No, Ruth was there taking care of her mother-in-law, helping, working, trying to take care of them, and God honored her. But
yes,
he honored her because of her character.
Yes. Amen.
Godly character. And when we our lives please God, God will bless us. But your life got to be pleasing to him. He's not going to give you a godly man, and you want a godly man. And here you're not being a godly woman. She listened at what? She taken the instruction of what her mother-in-law gave her, reference to Boaz. And she didn't do anything inappropriate either. A part of the kinsman's redeemership, where she would redeem back from what was lost of theirs, is what she did. And this is what Ruth told her. This would be the next person in line. And she instructed her what to do, to go lay down at his feet. She didn't sleep with him. She didn't have sex with him. But she did as that, and God honored her.
Yes.
He honored her. So that, yes, so God created each and every one of us for his purpose. And his purpose was for a good purpose. I read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, before God chosen you, before he made the world, he chosen you. He loved us, and he chosen us in Christ to be holy, holy. Hear that word, holy. Holy and without fault, without blame in his eyes. That's what he called us to. And God adopted us into his family and gave, and it was his good pleasure to do that. So he has a standard that we as godly women are to live by.
Yeah.
And what is so sad and so unfortunate is that a lot of this that have into the church from the world, we have brought that, a lot of have brought that, brought their sins into the world where we have the same kind of things going on in church.
Yes.
People, men and women living together, having sex, and they're not married, and yet they still in church.
Well,
God has not called
them.
God has not called you to do that. That's not, you're totally in error. And it's sad because a lot of pastors are not teaching this. They are looking the other way. They are keeping their mouth shut because all they want is a lot of members, and they want that money.
Come on, make it plain.
They want and musicians, so they're not going to say anything. But God is going to hold them accountable, and he's going to hold you accountable if you're doing this and you know better.
That's right. Come on. Teach.
So this is not what God has called you to. He called you to be holy. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He called us to be holy women, where we to conduct ourselves in a way where God is pleased. And God is not pleased with fornication and adultery. And I'm going to go to some down further on down in some scriptures, and I'm going to really break it down. So when I break it down,
break it on down, then break it down.
Excuse, you will have
no
excuse.
Come on, come on.
Okay, I'm still speaking on a good reputation, good character. That's huge to me. It's huge. I heard a pastor say, well, my pastor, he say, nobody should Google your name, and something come up crazy, which is true. You know, some of you Google names, and it's like your mouth fly open.
Well.
But godly character.
Come on.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. God's will for you to be holy. Okay? To be holy. Stay away from all sexual sin. All. All sexual sin. Each one control your own body, live in holiness and honor, and not in lustful passions like the pagans did. The pagans, when they were pagans, they didn't know God, and that's how they lived. But once you know God, you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You said you done gave your life to him, and you identifying as a Christian, you're not to be living that kind of life. But he said, walk in the spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say, okay, what's the lust of the flesh?
I got a large list for you.
Okay? Galatians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at verse 16. Okay, and we're gonna camp a little bit on verse 19 through 21. But he says to stay away from adultery, which that's we all know what that is, and fornication. But in case you don't, I'm going to break it down. That's sex. At least one of you are married. So if you're a woman of God, a man of God, you should not be messing with nobody else is having sex with someone other than your own husband or your own wife. Bothering with someone else's husband or wife is definitely a no-no. And not only do you pay for these kind of sins in other ways, you pay for them in your body as well. People have all these, because there's the sins of the flesh. They have all these kind of things going on in their body because of the sins that they didn't commit it and never repented from. Adultery, fornication, sex, having sex and you're not married, uncleanness, that's homosexuality, masturbation. Some of them don't want to talk about that, but that's real too. That's under uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Now this particular one covers all sexual sins. Flirting is under that category. And people want to call that innocent. You flirting around with a guy. Oh, you say, oh, hey, you grinning and looking and talking all this. And you saying, oh, that's just innocent. I'm just flirting. It's innocent. Flirting is not innocent.
Well,
you done got that man all excited because men are visual. And they also, you know, you get talking to them and they look in and all, and next thing they all and got them all in a way. And then here, now you done caused him to sin because he looking at you in a certain way. So that's not innocent at all. You done caused this man to sin. You're thinking, you know, I done heard him. Oh, you know, oh, yeah, look at him. Oh, he got a nice package. He got this. He got that. All you looking for is a roll in the hay, lust. That's you thinking. That's under lasciviousness. Your conduct. Now, God ain't called no woman, chase no man.
Come on.
That's totally inappropriate. He said, he that find a wife, find a good thing. And not only he find a good thing, he find favor with God. Notice I said a wife. Now, there are women, are plenty of women out there, but every woman is not a wife. Now, he said, you'll find favor with God when you find a wife. Now, he didn't say she that find a husband. Find favor. So that means you're not be out there chasing down no men. You going to his house, following him home, finding out where he lives so you can go to his house, ring his doorbell, you know, getting his phone, calling him, all this kind of foolishness. That's just foolish. God did not call you to do that. Conduct yourself in a godly manner.
Amen. Amen.
All of that's just inappropriate. Just total inappropriate behavior. And eventually, those kind of men, if they yield to that, they're looking only one thing, and that's hit it and quit it. And once they finish, once that's it. They ain't being bothered with you. They move on to the next person. So carry yourself as women of God. And it's sad that we have to talk like this in the church, but because it's going on in the church.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
And from, you know, and it's nothing new under the sun.
Nope.
What was happening way back from the beginning of time is still going on now.
Going on, yes.
It's still going on. Nothing's changed, you would think, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and attire, how we dress. Dressing, you know, some call it a saran wrap. Look like, you know, just just taking a mold with a dress and just pour it, you know, into the mold of the dress. Everything. Your boobs all showing. You got all your cleavage, all this showing. I was at a funeral, and what's so sad was, in the missionary section, all the women over there, except for one or two of them, looked like they were going to a hoochie convention.
My Lord. Well, tell them what you really think of that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there. I'm looking at this, And I said, oh, my God. I said, all these women, and this is the missionary section, and they look like they going to a hoochie convention. The clothes just as tight, where like they done just poured them into a mold. Their boobs all out here just pushed all up, showing. And some of them, the dresses were so short. I mean, and some didn't even have on a lap scarf. And I say, oh, Jesus. And I say, and these are younger women. What happened to the older women teaching the young ones?
Come on, come on.
The pastors, a lot of them are not allowing the older women to teach the younger ones because they don't want them to leave. They don't want to feel like they're going to run them off. No, if you do it in love, you won't run them off.
That's right. That's right.
That's
but
right.
These younger women need to hear. They need to allow the older women to teach them because we want to do it in love, and we're not going to do it in a way where you could run them off. But what, where they're going, we done been there. All we can do is tell you we done bumped our head, okay, on that way. So we want to tell you so you don't bump your head.
That's right.
So
yes.
It's important that the younger women are taught. By the older.
They must be taught.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yes.
And see, and if you're dressing in a way, you're trying to get a man's attention, that definitely is sin because you're causing this man to sin for him looking at you, a man standing up in front of you, and he forced to look at your boobs because you don't have them covered up. He forced to look at that, whether he want to or not. I've had men come to me and ask me, could you talk to such and such and so about the way she dressed and all? And I would tell the women that was in my class, I'd say, it's embarrassing when some of the brothers come to me and ask me to talk to you all about how you dress.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to live a godly life, and you're standing up there in front of them, and the way you dress, they got to sit up there, look at your cleavage in here, and men are visual. They forced to do that because you're talking to them, and here you don't think nothing about it, or do you think anything about it? And before you left home, you should have noticed the way you were dressed. I know you looked in the mirror. So the way you dress, you causing a man to sin. If he's looking up on you and say looking, and he looking at your dress all tight like that, and you've got a big behind, and he looking at all of that. He looking at your boobs all pushed up. He looking at all of that. He getting aroused by that. But either he getting said he shouldn't, all because of the way you dressed.
That's
now,
right.
Not only him having an issue with that, you're responsible because of how you dressed, how you done come out the house looking. Because you're causing this man to sin. Okay. Now, when you're sexually involved with someone that's not your husband, you're creating a soul tie. And that was not designed by God. That was strictly of Satan. Number one, God then told you from the very beginning, do not let fornication be named, not even once among you as becoming Christian. That shouldn't even be brought, you shouldn't even do it one time. He's telling you one time is one time too many. But thank God that there is forgiveness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So when we sin, you know, not deliberately, you know, not just someone practicing sin, but he told us, he says, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Yes.
So we have an advocate with Jesus. If we sin, we can go and ask his forgiveness. And he said he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm speaking when you're in a lifestyle. This is your way of life. You're living like this, where you just having sex, you know, men you're not married to, and some of them, you know, it's these one night stands, and it's just unbelievable that Christians get involved in this. Because someone was sharing with me, you know, a person that they know and involved in this, and it was the first time. And it's like, you don't know if this person have disease or what, but it just seems like the devil have blinded their eyes to where they're not thinking in that area. No condoms, just what they call it. I think they're calling it now raw dogging or whatever. But hot there with no protection. Even if you got protection, that's still not protection. It's still wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But to be out there, you know, in that way, God did not intend for his people, anyone called by his name, to be involved in that way. That is not what he called his people to, his men and women of God to do.
That's right.
He created sex for the covenant of marriage, and that's between a man and a woman.
Break it down.
Not Yvette and two women. He did not create two women, Eve and Yvette. Okay? That's not what marriage is to be. And nor two men, Steve and Ricky, or well, he did not create that. He created marriage between a man and a woman. He said create male and female. He created them. And sex outside of marriage is sin. And you can't expect God's blessings. If anything, you're going to end up in a curse, because you're going to end up somewhere, somehow, with some kind of disease or something going on that would be totally not good. You create these getting involved with someone you're not married to, you having sex with them, you're creating emotional ties as well as the soul ties. You create your emotions. Your emotions are all crazy, all out of whack. Your thinking is distorted. You can't even think clearly because of the fact you all have been involved in a way to where only married couples should have been involved. The relationship, ungodly, toxic relationship. Now here you up here involved, you know, with Willie, Joe, I'll say Joe, you involved with Joe. Now here Joe taking you to work. You done let Joe move in your apartment, house.
Okay.
Joe taking you to work in your car, because Joe don't have
a
car. He taking you to work in your car.
Amen.
While
he's
dropping you off at work, he going to go pick up Tasha. Over to Tasha's house in your car. Then you find out later on when things kind of start looking a little crazy, something suspicious, you smell a rat, and then you find out he messing with Tasha. You go through his phone and find out he done been talking to Tasha. He done been at Tasha's house. Now you're angry. You're ready to go over there and beat up Tasha. Because he don't have no car for you to go break his windows out of.
Lord Jesus.
You ready to go beat up somebody, and which he the one supposed to be. You the one that got involved with him, and he's supposed to be committed to you.
Come on.
What kind of situation is that? Then you turn around, you get sick of him, get tired of it, and put him out and tell him he gone. That's it. Then next thing you see him out with Tasha or some other woman here, not ready. You ready to go after the both of them. Now that's those soul ties. I hear all the time say, I hate I ever got involved with him. I hate I ever laid eyes on him. You hate him, but yet you can't stand to see him with another woman.
My Lord.
That's those soul ties that you done created by having sex with him. This is deep. This is why God tells you, why he said that was to only be created in marriage. Soul ties
Amen.
Are deep. When you have sex with someone that's not your spouse. You done created some monsters. This is why he say don't do it. But yet and still, you know, we end up doing it. And we got to stop. We got to lay the axe to the root of the tree as godly women.
Yeah.
Verse 20.
Amen.
It says idolatry, sorcery. These are some of the works, some of the rest of the works of the flesh. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, anger, factions, seditions, heresies. You know, we find so much craziness going on where people just start up stuff, you know, just get rebels in the church and just start confusion up in there. You know, they get mad with the pastor and then decide, okay, they go and start up some stuff in the church and get trying to get everybody on their side, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So all this kind of stuff goes on. So envious, murders, drunkenness, which we talk about that, reveling. So all of these are works of the flesh, and we as women of God should not be involved in. I'm still talking about God. I'm still talking about a good reputation.
Yes.
Character.
Yeah.
Good godly character. 2 Corinthians 12:21. Now the Corinthians was a group of people. When I was mentioned earlier about how bringing sin into the church, that's what the Corinthians did. It was right near the water, right on the water, like San Francisco, New York, and they had a lot of sin going on in there too. And they brought bringing their same sins from the world into the church where they wasn't transformed. This is why Paul had to write two letters to the Corinthian church admonishing them, you know, and his sexual sins going on. He's talking to them about that. So he had to write a second letter, and he wrote the second letter within a year from the first letter because they still weren't getting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the sexual immorality that was going on in there where he had the son then taking messing with his father's wife, then taking his father's wife. Now, what kind of stuff is that? You mess around with your stepmother? So he wrote a letter to them regarding their sexual immorality, telling him he was afraid for them. Say he don't want to be grieved, you know, because he knows that when he come, you know, they hadn't repented. They hadn't gave up their old sin. And all they needed to do was repent. He told them that you were impure. He said your sexual immorality, you know, you're so eager to be involved with lustful pleasure things. You're too eager to be involved in these kind of things. You ain't repented. You still got all that lasciviousness going on.
Yes, yes.
Good name, a good reputation. Someone asked, someone mentioned your name, you know, what would someone say about you? That's something everybody listening, think about that. If someone mentioned your name and said, oh, you know Pastor Cook, or you know Bishop Cook, Apostle Cook, oh, yeah, I know her, you know, and see what they have to say. They'll have some good things to say. Oh, yeah, I know who she is. Oh, what a beautiful woman of God. You know, she ministered at the prison. She did this. She did that. You know, someone can have, they'll have good things to say. But it's awful when someone mention your name and your reputation and they have awful things to say. Proverbs 22:1, one of our foundation scriptures. Choose a good reputation. Now, he didn't say, he telling you. This is here he telling you to do. He's instructing you. This is a demand. Choose a good reputation over great riches.
Amen.
Your name, your character, you know, is being held in high esteem. It's better than silver or gold. And you know, silver and gold is priceless. So your name, by your name, mentioning your name, and your name should be, it should be such a good reputation that your name, your character is held very high. Silver and gold, I mean, that to me, it's more priceless than silver and gold. Your character,
yeah.
Your good name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. It's important. And when it's all said and done, that lifestyle that we live down here where we have to go and give an account, sure, God, if we repent, God will forgive you. But to live that kind of lifestyle down here, it's pretty sad, because the way that I see, how I see people that are so unhappy because of the things that are going on in their life. And all that stuff backfires. It's never a good ending. People may think that, oh, they this and that. No, it's not a good ending. Looking at all how this stuff backfires on people, you know, here, next thing you end up, you'd have messed around here with one guy here, you got a baby by him. He done gone. He decided he don't want to be responsible. He gone. Here you decide you're going to go get involved with Ricky. You already got a baby by Joe. He done gone. He done left you. Here you decided you're going to get with Ricky. You're getting pregnant by Ricky. You got a child by Ricky. Okay? Then here, Ricky decides he don't want to be around. Then here you go again. Here you got another child. Okay? Here you go. Let's say Bud. Now you got a third child. And Bud decides he don't want to be bothered either. Now, something tell me, You are the common denominator, all these men, but yet and still, you want to say something wrong with the men, something wrong mm-hmm. with you.
Amen.
Because you're the common denominator here. Three men. All of that has built up soul ties. Being involved in one relationship wasn't good. And if you don't seek God and get rid of the baggage from the first relationship, that's creating baggage for the second one. You done brought that same baggage into the second relationship, and that one not going to work.
Come on.
The third one.
Come on.
All this baggage you have, and all this baggage with the baby daddies and the, you know, and then now you have three children, three different fathers. And it's no condemnation if this something that happened to you before you were saved. I understand that. Thank God for his redemptive power. And you can repent. You repent and walk in love. And God will help you to take care of your children if you trust and rely on him. But this
yes.
should not be a situation
Amen.
Going on
Amen.
Here in the house of God, and you're to be living as a woman of God, and you putting yourself in this kind of situation.
Come on. Tell the truth.
Now, and whether or not I'm going to be popular for this, I mean, you can get
don't
mad
care.
At me if you want. I'm not trying to make a popularity contest. Okay?
Come
hear
on.
It. I know I'm responsible. When God called me to the ministry,
that's right. Come
I
on.
Speak the word of God and tell the truth. Speak the truth in love.
That's
yes.
right.
Not about nobody's
right.
feelings. Just get out your feelings
yes.
and get in the word
get
of God.
Get out your feelings. Come on. Come on. Say it, sis.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And teach up in here.
And get in prayer.
Yes.
So you
Amen.
Can walk in the spirit. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes.
So get out your feelings, get out the flesh, get in the Spirit, and just begin to walk and live how God has called us to live as women of God. I say men and women of God, but I'm speaking to the women. I'm speaking to women and young women especially, but of older women out there, if you need a check, you need to be checked.
Come on.
I'm checking you too. Because
check
as an older woman,
Amen.
To be a
check
mature
up.
Woman, to be a Naomi, to teach the younger women.
Yep.
Yes.
And you teach
yes.
by precept and example. You can't be out
by
here.
By example. Say that, sis.
You
yes.
have
Amen.
50 and 60
Amen.
Years old, and you're getting tattoos.
What is
what
that?
What kind of mess is that?
What is that?
What sense do that make?
None.
Well, you should be an example, teaching the younger women how to live, how to live godly, and teaching
mm-hmm,
them by example.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So praise
Amen,
God. This is it. This is all that I have that God given me.
Woo!
Praise
okay.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
yeah.
God. So, praise
well,
God. Apostle is back in your hands.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory
Amen.
To God now. You know what?
Amen.
I know some of you might be sitting right there looking at your phone sideways talking about, well, what kind of preaching was this? A much needed one.
Yes.
A much needed
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Because,
Amen.
See, if you don't know anything about us here at Spirit Alive, you should understand. We are here to disciple. We are here to teach. We are here to share in love. We don't care about your feelings because we want you to turn your feelings and yourself over to the Most High God by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, here we teach and preach older women. We need to stop talking about the younger women. And ask ourselves, well, what are we pouring into them?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot
yeah.
of us would have to say
yeah.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
I tell you another thing. Because, see, Evangelist Joyce brought it up real good. I like you. You ran it the way it should have been run. One,
Amen.
Pastors, there's too many pastors today that, like she said, they're more concerned about the size of the coffers than they are the condition of their charges souls. So they don't correct. And they don't want anybody else to correct. Why do they not want anybody correct? Because if they correct, then their lives become suspect. Okay?
Amen.
And let me explain another thing to you. You can be drunk on a lot more things than wine and drugs. Let me explain something to you. See, I'm going to break it down some more for you. See, some of you young girls, see, y'all are drunk. You're drunk with the lust of power. You want to be seen as having all that. So you lose your mind over a Prada bag. You lose your mind over red bottom shoes. You forget who you are behind a dress. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You put your whole life on the line. Because you done got caught up in the things of the world. But yet you want to go to church on Sunday. I think it's going to be all right. No. My sister came and told you tonight, no, it's not going to be all right. See, the church might want to have a new normal, but God remains the same. His word remains the same.
Amen.
And if he said it, he meant it.
Amen.
Now, you might not like it. You might think it's now irrelevant to your world, but, honey, it is not irrelevant to God. And in this whole everything that we are, God's opinion is the only one that matters.
Amen.
Say that.
Yes.
So, you know, this is just a wake-up call. First to the older women saying, wake up. You know,
Amen.
If we want our young women to do better, we've got to teach them better. We got to, you know, we can't be running out there popping harder than they are. And you know, we can't be out there doing the same thing they're doing and then expect for us to be able to speak into them.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
We have to be carrying ourselves with the kind of reputation that says we are women of God. We love you. We want to see you be all that you can be. Because, see, there's people coming after you. You know, and we want to carry this forward. We want to reach back and pull people up with us. So I want to thank you, Evangelist Joyce, because you broke it down, and these are the conversations people need to have before their daughters get pregnant.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
See, these are the conversations we need to be having in a lot of churches everywhere, all over the world.
Yes.
You know,
the
time to all this backbite, all this back whispering and low gossiping, it's got to go. It is time for women of God to stand and teach. And let me tell you another thing. Ain't nobody going to stop me from teaching nobody anything. And I do not ask young people, do they want to learn? I am a woman of God. I'm going to teach whether you want to learn or not.
Amen.
Because that's what I've been called to do.
Yeah.
And I don't have to say a word to you. But when I walk down the street, like my sister said, I'm going to have on clothes that are fitting of a woman of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
You're going to be able to see my face and not my lashes. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to see my face.
Glory.
And not my weed.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be able to see my face and not the bling on around my neck and on my ears and around my arms. See, I don't want to blind you by that kind of light. I want you to get blinded by the love and the light of God.
Oh,
yes. Amen.
That's what that's what the women of God are about here at Spirit Alive, and we do have a lot of our sisters up in here tonight. We have Apostle Zeta Flowers up in here tonight. Hallelujah. We got Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell up in here tonight. We have Pastor Vanessa Carver up in here tonight. We have some of our Spirit Alive brothers up in here tonight. Praise Jesus. And I want to thank God for everybody else who's up in here tonight. So if anybody else wants to get on in on the conversation, please just press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and your last 4 digits of your phone number. But in the meantime and in between time, I'm going to ask, I know Mother Mitchell, who is my mother, is in the house, and I know that she can relate to a lot of things that Evangelist Joyce was talking about, because, you know, I hear her talk about it, and we have a lot of conversations about our young sisters and what we can do to try to encourage them. So, Mother Mitchell, you can come on in the room if you'd like. You have a word.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. I appreciate this message so from the young lady that brought this message, and being one of the older women of our congregation, and you've been all in every congregation that I have been in, even to the one in Texas, because you came to visit me, and the first thing we always do on the first Sunday that you're there is we go to church, and I'll be asking you to pray with me about this and about that, because it needs to be fixed. Because the churches are just going to ruin, because sometimes it's on the pastor and the heads of the church, and then sometimes it's just like the sister preached about. It's that they want to dress like the world, but they want to come into the church and sit before Christian men, and they think they're going to catch a husband. And I tell them, baby, listen. You're not going to go to his mother looking like that, because his mother has learned better and has a good reputation in the church, and she wants a woman for her son who is learning to have a good reputation among the women and the men. And the
Amen.
That's why.
Yes.
Amen.
So
tell it. Okay,
need
that's
to
good.
Check yourself. And bring yourself up to a higher standard. And I you know, hear me, I'm not bragging on my daughter, but I want to just say the truth about her and state the fact. She never
dressed like the Hoochies. If anything, she was dressing too old. So when I would go to the store and buy something for me to wear, she'd say, "Oh, Mama, I like that. Can I get one? We just get them different color."
Amen.
Too old for
Amen.
You. And sometimes we find something else, and sometimes I just let her have her head.
Amen.
And you know, she was covered up, and she was dressed appropriate because my mother taught me that way. I taught my daughter that way.
Amen.
And
yes.
That's what you have to do. You have to play it forward so these young women know. And you don't have to whisper about them or make them feel bad.
Nope.
Just say, pull them aside and say, "Baby, isn't that dress just a little bit short or low cut for church? You might want to save that for something else or not wear it at all. If when you can, get you something a little bit more appropriate for church. But if that's all you've got, I would rather you come and talk to Jesus and kneel and pray to him for guidance in that and bring you a lap cloth rather than not come at all because some older head has embarrassed you and talked about you so bad to others instead of talking to you and praying with you
Amen.
About it.
And I
will say to the, I'm going to hush in just a minute, Bishop, I mean, Apostle.
It's
but,
all right,
you know,
Mom. Just come on. Yeah.
Pray with them. Don't have no clothes. If you know somebody that has appropriate clothes, pray that somebody somewhere can help them get appropriate clothing.
Go in your own closet.
Amen.
Go in your closet and get some appropriate clothes and say they're really nice things. They really are. And you would look so beautiful in them. And that's how you make it better for everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Right. You're welcome, Mom. I love you,
so
too.
Much,
thank
my
you.
Sister. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you. My mother said she appreciates you, Evangelist. Hallelujah. That was really good. All
God.
Right. Now, I'm going to have another one of my moms. See, I have my own personal motherboard. I'm not ashamed to say it. Amen. God is just good like that because he knows
Amen.
I might walk off a cliff. I need a whole bunch of guidance from a whole bunch of older women, okay? But I'm going to have Apostle Zeta come forth because, you know, she and I, too, have many of these conversations about how we address young women and how we need to be teaching young women how to carry themselves, how to have a good reputation, how to not put themselves in harm's way. So, Apostle Zeta, I'm going to have you come on in because, you know, before we get out of here, I'm going to have Pastor Vanessa not only speak on it, but then I'm going to have her bind this whole session with prayer because we need to get it together inside and out.
That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
And we need to go out into
Amen.
The world and help them get it together inside and out.
Absolutely.
So Pastor Zeta, come on in the room, ma'am, and bless us with your nuggets of truth.
Amen. I'm in. Everything that I heard that came through Evangelist Joyce's mouth, I know to be the truth. I've seen the same thing happen over and over. And and some of these ladies that are in the church are feeling very comfortable because no one brings it to their attention.
Right.
So,
exactly.
And then when one of us have something to say, then they want to have an attitude behind it. But they're not being taught. Or even those that know better are not being told that's inappropriate, and they need to. So, you know, what was taught tonight needs to really be done more often. And like she said, in the churches, but somebody's got to be bold enough when they have that opportunity to stand behind the podium or wherever they're teaching is to just bring it out, because it isn't right. And I have talked to some of them and have done some teaching on it as well. One of the things that really bothers me now is that on Facebook there are these pastors, female pastors coming on, and they're preaching, but when you look at them, some of their members can't help but think that it's okay, because their dresses are low cut. They're wearing the latest styles. They're wearing the short dresses, and they're wearing the long dresses with the split all the way up to their waistline. So you know, that's a big issue and a big problem as well.
Yeah,
and they're and they're preaching the word of God. I mean, some of them don't know any better, but some of them do. But if they're seeing their leader dressed inappropriate and doing some of the things that the world is doing, there's confusion.
I enjoyed
what I heard tonight, and it really needs to be brought out even more so.
Amen. Amen. I agree, because and I praise God for all of the mothers that are here, the sisters that are here. I just praise God for the sisterhood and all the women that you hear in this room tonight. They're not ashamed of the gospel. And they're gonna, you know, and we're the first ones to tell you, we're not perfect. You know, when we speak, it might not be from experience now. But, you know, we need to have these conversations, because I'm gonna be transparent here. You know, you want to go into these churches, and if you see another woman's daughter pregnant, you know, you want to act all shocked and dismayed and clutch your pearls and tell and announce to the whole church what your daughter would never do. Okay, it's your daughter that calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning when they were, when they've been coming out of a hospital because they done went to a bad abortion clinic, and now they have to go see what's really going on, okay? I am tired of you coming to me, asking me to pass a word on to your daughter, because she's out there sitting out there at Santa Rita, pregnant, because when the police pulled her and Pookie over, Pookie decided to put the drugs on her. See, we have to have these conversations. We got to make it plain. You're creating all these soul ties. You're creating all these babies. You're creating all this chaos. You know?
And it's costing the souls of our young.
And it's costing, amen. Yes. And it's costing the souls, and it's costing you your life.
And they just
amen. So I'm going to let, amen, Mother Mitchell. I would like for Pastor Vanessa to come on in the room, and there's still time. There's a lot of us in here tonight, and we would love to hear from you, even our brothers, because even though this is Daughters of Naomi, we all know that what God said, look, whatever he meant for one, he means for the other two. So, you know, men have to have a good reputation, too. You can't be no pastor running around. You know, like I said, pastor, I just walked in your church and there's two rows of children in the back, and they all look like you. But first lady, the first lady don't have no kids. What up with that, pastor? So I'm just saying, it's not a good look for people of God to be looking that much like the world. We don't have to be like them to reach them. Pastor Vanessa.
Thank you, Apostle Cook, and thank you, Evangelist Carpenter, for that message. One scripture that you shared, I thank you for sharing those scriptures, but the scripture that I'm hearing as well is when we're in Christ, we're new creatures. And many of the things that we're talking about tonight and that we do talk on the Daughters of Naomi have to do with an old nature. And I think that when I pray tonight, one of the things I am going to pray for about the heart of those who believe who are converted, a lot of times there is just putting on. There's a behavior, but nothing has really changed. And it is important to have good teaching. And it is important to be to teach by what we do, not just by what we say. And that God will deal with our hearts in that place of conversion, because this is a topic that has been going on since I was a child, and I'm in my 50s, and it has not changed. But when you do minister to these young people in love, and not just young people, there are some people that are unchurched. That's what we call them, unchurched and de-churched. And they're coming back to the Lord. They're coming back. And many times you have to take them aside and be and just tell them the truth. And the word in itself will do the work. So I believe that as they may not want to hear a scripture, they may think we're being religious, but the word will do the work on their hearts. And I truly believe that our intercession, our intercession spiritually and our and I do believe that our intercession spiritually and naturally will also do the work. How we love on them, how we pray for them, pray with them, and help them to understand that it's not just us against them. And because we were all saved all our whole life. We were not. We can live share with them a place of transparency that also ministers. As well, to a lot of the young women that I have mentored over the years, I know a lot of times I'm telling them about things that I went through, not so that they can do the same thing, but to let them know there is a process in all this, and God is real. And if you are real with him, he's real with you about how you dress, about everything you do. And so I just want to, and who you who your relationships are with, he will talk to you, and the scripture will back up everything,
that he said. Amen.
Thank God today for that place where your people are. Father God, I thank you for this message, Reputation.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, today that we begin to take on more of who you are in word and deed and be drawn to the word and the power of the word, because it cuts coming and going. I thank you, Lord, today, and it breaks up hard places in our hearts. So I just thank you, Lord, today, that there be a new level of humility in the body of Christ, not just for the mothers, not just for those of us that are teaching, but for those that are coming in. I thank you, Lord, today,
Lord,
that you convict them and that they walk out of condemnation and begin to walk into conviction, because when they're convicted, they'll change. And when they're convicted through
Lord.
The Spirit, they'll change. So I thank you, Lord, today, for breaking up foul ground and rebellious spirits that come into the church. I thank you, Lord, today, that divide and conquer. And I thank you, Lord, today, but that you are fighting for us. You're fighting for that young woman, that mother, that woman who has who's single. You're fighting for them. And I thank you, Lord, that you put those the right people in their lives that speak life over them, even when they're not around. And I thank you, Lord, that you teach us how to intercede for them. You teach us how to be patient, as the minister said. And it is important to be patient. And in patience, there is a perfecting work. There will be maturity. So we speak life and declare and proclaim that there will be fruitful seed. These women will be mature. They will be, Lord, servants of your will and purpose in every way, from the head down to the toes, from the internal issues of the soul to the external. It'll show in what they wear. It'll show
that's
in their
right.
speech.
That's right.
What they speak, what they will not speak, and what they can
that's
speak
right.
against as well. Mm-hmm. So I thank you, Lord, today that our level of expectation and our agreement with your word over this demographic of people or women in the body of Christ, they are in the body, that we begin
that's
to expect to see well. And, Lord, you equip us more and more on every level to guard, to protect, to learn to love them where they are so that they can be and so that we can treat them the way you see them and the way that you show us that you, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sisters, can we just start treating and loving on our sisters and treating them as though they are as special as God thinks they are? He knows they are. Yeah. He knows what he created them to be. If we could just start loving each other and telling the simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
The simple truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
And really begin to address the root issues that these young ladies face,
mm-hmm.
the things that they might be dealing with. We haven't even began to scratch the surface because, when a lot of these young women are growing up in environments where there is no hope.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in their household that is committing all those acts, those mm-hmm. workings of the flesh that
mm-hmm.
The evangelist brought out tonight from Galatians.
Amen.
Amen. Some of these young women,
Amen.
We don't know their circumstances why they're out mm-hmm. there, but God does.
Yes.
And it's not our place to question.
Amen.
It's our place to help. To love,
yes.
to serve,
love.
To equip,
yeah.
to bring up
yeah.
a little higher, hallelujah,
yeah.
to pray,
yeah.
to demonstrate yeah. the love of Christ,
Amen.
And to also show them that they're worth it. They are worth it. Christ loves us so much that he came down here and gave up his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His
yes.
life. He didn't swoon on that cross. He died.
Yeah.
Amen.
But oh, hallelujah, he didn't stay dead. He rose.
That's right.
And he ascended
God.
Back to the right hand
oh.
of the Father where he is interceding
yeah. Yeah.
on our behalf
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
And there are some of you that might be within the sound of my voice tonight or our voices tonight, and you're tired. You've been known as the bad girl. If someone were to mention your name in your town, it might not come back real good. But you know the beautiful thing about Jesus is he does make you a new creation.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah,
does give
yeah.
you new life.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And see, when you make
real.
Jesus your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about people thinking, well, she's just faking it. Oh, she done went religious. Oh, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what people think mm-hmm. about you. It's about what God knows about you.
God says about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what
yeah.
he says
yeah.
about you.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he created mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And he knows the plans that he has for you.
Yes. Amen.
So,
Amen.
My sisters, tonight, I don't know where you're sitting. Maybe you're sitting in an abusive relationship because you created some soul ties that you shouldn't have created. Maybe you've just been bouncing and bouncing and looking for that father figure that you never had. We don't know what the issue might be, but I tell
mm-hmm.
you what, I can tell you who can fix it. His name is
yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
And if you don't
yes.
know him in the pardon of your sin,
yeah.
if you don't have any help, but help has arrived. Because all you have to do, hallelujah, to begin this beautiful process of becoming new, of building a new character, of building a new reputation, is to give your life to Jesus.
Yeah.
And you don't have
yeah.
to dress up and go to a building and put on your best face and your best clothes. All you got to do is bow your heart
yes.
and confess your
yes,
sin.
Jesus.
Tell
yes,
Jesus
Lord.
That you repent of your sin because you believe that he came, he died, and he rose for your sin.
Yes. Yes.
He
yes.
paid. He's already paid all
the
that ever has to be paid.
Yeah.
All you have
yes.
to do is receive the gift of new life,
yeah.
the
Lord.
Gift of salvation,
right.
the gift of hope. And you
yes.
will begin to dress differently, I assure you. Because when you come into a relationship with Jesus, hallelujah, you will begin to adorn yourself with righteous things like righteousness. You will wear a garment of peace. Hallelujah. You will be adorned in robes of praise. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Then you'll dress differently and you'll speak differently.
Amen.
Your conversations will be different.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So we as your sisters come to you in love, saying, if you don't know Jesus, choose him today while you still have a chance.
Please.
Because God is a God of many chances.
Yes, he is.
But you first have to give your life over to him, so that he can begin to do the work in you.
I want to
thank everyone, all of our everyone for listening. I want to thank Minister Tuggle and Deacon William Isbell, and I want the brothers for listening in and just being our sergeant at arms on the wall. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to just thank once again Evangelist Joyce Carpenter for coming on by, because like she said, once you're a part of this family, you're always a part of this family. God may have many different assignments for each one of us, but this, as long as I'm here, this will still be home to them. Hallelujah. So I praise God for that. I want to thank you. Say thank you to my mother, Mother Shirley Standard Mitchell, to my other mother,
Amen.
Apostle Zeta Flowers, and of course to my dear sister friend, hallelujah, my ride or die sister, Pastor Vanessa Carver. I just want to thank you ladies for coming out and just always being faithful. I praise God for each and every one of you, and I just want to, I just pray that God will continue to bless your ministries. Pastor Vanessa, you are embarking upon a, God is elevating and doing a wonderful thing in your life. Would you like to take a moment and just share what you're going to be doing?
Yes, ma'am. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay, because I have my Bluetooth on. I wasn't sure. On the 25th of March, I am embarking on a second attempt to do a seer and a prophetic worshipers class. It's going to be a Zoom.
Amen.
I did an intercessory prayers. I did one back in 2020 and COVID hit, but it was while intercessors and prophets uniting. So this one is going to be about prophetic worshipers as well as seers uniting. And it's called the Choze class, C-H-O-Z-E-H, and then prophetic worshipers unite. This will be going on once a month on Saturdays. I have a flyer, and if anybody is interested in joining, it is free of charge. We're just going to search the scriptures. And this is a level of tutelage and mentoring that I'm doing as well. Some people are taking it for all kinds of reasons. That's not my issue. My issue is doing what God told me to do and making this available to those in the body of Christ. We need all hands on deck. And
Amen.
God is calling many of us in this area to be developed and boot to the ground. So he wants us to be doing this, and then but there needs to be teachers. And so I have me and another sister who's also a prophet. That is our mantle. That is one of our purposes, and I also teach and pastor. So I've been doing this kind of like a hybrid for years, not knowing or understanding. But this is what we're going to be doing. It starts the 25th of March. It'll be every fourth Saturday. And it'll just be going to come with us as we ascend, because it's going to start slow, but it's going to speed up. So I just want everybody to be blessed. You can reach me on Facebook. We do have, I want you to sign up so that I can send you links for the Zooms and everything else. This is a progressive type of teaching. So if you don't come to the first one, it's going to be hard to catch up to the second one. I just want you to know, just like math is progressive, moves of God are progressive as well. So
yes.
I just want you to know what I'm doing. Thank you, Apostle Cook. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, beloved.
Amen.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, we family up around here, and when one is doing something, you know, we get excited about it. We definitely pray about it.
Yeah.
And if you can't attend, I pray that you would continue to pray and keep our sisters lifted up, because that's what sisterhood is all about. It's about, you know, coming together, supporting one another, loving on one another, because we don't have enough of that in the body of Christ. So I try to always show others that being unified, loving one another, supporting one another, as Christ has commanded, it always works. It always works.
Yes.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I want to just thank all the beautiful sisters that was here, our brothers that were here, all of you that were listening that's listening in the chat room. I'm blessed that you are here. We're here. And I really, again, Evangelist Joyce, you know, you really, I love the way the Holy Spirit works throughout this ministry and this family, because I have, everything that we've been teaching, it all flows together. And here we are truly, truly dedicated to, you know, not just surfacing the word. We don't water ski over the word. We scuba dive and we go deeper, because if you don't get to the root,
mm-hmm.
if you don't start dealing with stuff and pulling it from the root out, letting God pull it out, then we're going to just continue to rehash the same thing over and over and over again. And see, people don't understand, the enemy is a time bandit. He wants us to be going around and loop-de-loop-de-loop, and, you know, we look and we talk, but we never do. We look and we talk and we never do. The enemy doesn't even try to hide when he comes up in the church anymore, because he knows he's not going to be challenged.
Yeah.
But God still has some remnants in you and in me. And if they won't say something, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, I don't know about you, but see, I'm not going to have the Lord call me, send me, equip me, and then I turn around and don't tell you what he said. I don't turn around and tell you the truth. See, because all I want to hear from my Heavenly Father is, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I will not hear that if I sugarcoat things for you.
Right. That's
if
right.
I turn my head and act like it's not happening.
Right.
If I keep silent.
Yeah.
As a child of God, we have a responsibility to one another.
Amen.
We have accountability.
Yeah.
To one another.
Yes.
We should walk in integrity and honesty with one another.
Yeah.
See, that's all a part of having that good reputation, that good character.
Mm-hmm.
And right about now, the church, that she doesn't have it. So can we please put Jesus back in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can
we
please stop giving the Lord a bad name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because,
Amen.
You know, time is winding down, and we need to be redeeming our time wisely.
Yeah.
And we, as children of God, we understand this is war, and we do not have time for the foolishness. Now, we will love you. We will tell you what the Word of God says, but we're not going to go along to get along.
Amen.
We're not going to. We're not going to lay down the truth and pick up a lie.
Amen.
We've been living for Christ too long.
Amen.
See,
the
enemy might want some of the folks up in the church talking about a new normal and making right wrong, within wrong things right and evil good. Not up in here.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not up in here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong for me. It's wrong for you. It's wrong for Apostle Zeta.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong for Mother Mitchell. It's wrong for Minister Tuggle.
Yeah.
It's wrong for Deacon. It's wrong, period.
Yeah.
Just point blank wrong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If God says no, he meant no.
Right.
But we have too many that want to live home with a twist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give the impression of being a Christian. Mm. but they don't really have any possession in their hearts of God's word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They want to live holy with a twist. Okay, well, this is, okay, I know God said that, but you know, in these days, no. See, today, yesterday, today, forevermore, the same.
He's the same. Yes.
Yes. The same. The
yes.
same.
Change
the same.
Yes.
If it was wrong for David and Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
it's wrong for you and that man
yes.
that ain't your hood. Or that
That's
woman that
right.
ain't your wife. Okay?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
If it was wrong, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no need to, you know what I mean? We got to understand this word was given to us as basic instructions before leaving earth. Yes, but it's telling
mm-hmm.
everything in there is a cautionary tale. Cautionary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
see, God don't play with us. He said, if you do this,
mm-hmm.
this is going to happen. If you do that,
right.
that's going to happen.
Yeah. That's right. We see what that's happened right. with David. With
okay,
Jesus.
Okay.
The
There's always a sin. I'm telling you something
yeah.
about sin. The devil
mm-hmm.
is good
right.
at making it look good. He wants to stir up your hormones, stir
mm-hmm.
up your emotions. He wants to stir up everything
mm-hmm.
except
mm-hmm.
that word of God in you.
That's right.
He wants
mm-hmm.
to kill that. He wants to steal
mm-hmm.
that. He wants to destroy that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we should make it so easy for him. Like I said the other night,
mm-hmm.
you know, so many of us, we're good about getting our friend girls' faces, and we roll our necks, and we point our fingers, and, oh, we put our hands on our hips. And well, let me tell you something, girl. You know what? You should use some of that bravado when you're dealing with the devil.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Use that same bravado when you're dealing with the devil. When he come
yeah.
running up on you and you sitting over there looking at that man and you getting the wrong kind of thoughts, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't know. Mm-mm. Nope, not going to do it.
Okay.
You start speaking that word over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You start praying that word over yourself.
Yes.
Amen.
And I tell you.
And you do
I
it until.
Young people, yes. And Bishop, Apostle, I tell the young people all the time, there is one thing you can be absolutely sure of. When your heart is right and you want the Lord in God Almighty in your life, you cannot come into his presence and not be changed. He will
That's
change
right.
you.
Amen.
Won't
amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you, Mother
amen.
Mitchell. That's right.
Amen.
You, 'cause nowhere, amen. Nowhere. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere did everybody that Jesus touched, he changed.
He changed. That's right.
That's right.
So what's happening when you, and so what is your life saying when it touches somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Is your life of good character and reputation? Does your life and your light say to that next young lady or that next young man, I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have, you know, that person is always joyful. That person is always
yeah.
kind. That person is always
yeah.
a peacemaker. That person is always speaking good of others, not self,
yeah.
others.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, that person is always helping somebody. Or does your
yeah.
life say, you know, are you going to be one of those, yeah, they say they saved.
Mm-hmm.
But they look just like the world. See, that's what the world
mm-hmm.
says when they look at us and our hypocrisy. That's what the world says when they look at Christians,
yeah.
that people that say they're Christians living like the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them folks
yeah.
walk up in church and they probably get scared and run back out because they don't know if they walked into the church or the club.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. That's the truth, though, because
Gary.
That's the way it look in there.
Okay, I'm just keeping it real. And then, hold up.
Yeah.
Some people done stopped going to church because, see, they got cover charges for church these days. They got the ATMs right outside in the vestibule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got why you got to go to church and get 5 offerings? They can't afford to go
mm-hmm.
to church.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going to church, they just start staying at home on Sunday. Getting into God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I'm telling you, servant leaders, if you don't start correcting these folks, God is going to
mm-hmm.
correct you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Because, see, he didn't send these people to be in your charge for you to see, you're supposed to be a gift to the body.
That's right.
A gift.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
You're not supposed to impair the body. You're not supposed to set the body of Christ up to fail. And when you don't preach this word in and out of season, when you don't tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, when you don't say to that person, you don't, and I got it, again, it's always with much love, and it don't always have to be out of no open form. But you need to start going to some of your folk, letting them know you see them.
Amen.
Because, see, you got to let the enemy know, I see your mess, but you can't have this child right here, because I'm a jump in on this one. I'm going to start praying on this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to start speaking the word of God on this one. You just not going to start swooping up in here, taking all the young women up out of here. And I got to see it. If they don't want to listen to me, I got some sisters that are telling the same thing. They're going to hear it from one of us.
Right.
But they're going to hear it. Because it needs to be heard.
Yeah.
And older women, we need to start acting our age. If God has then blessed us with age, then we should have the wisdom enough to know that we're truly blessed.
Amen.
We just got to the point where we should be able to tell somebody something. This is not the time for you to lose your mind and think you Tina Turner. And you want to wear shorter skirts than the younger women.
That's right. It's true, Lord.
This is not the time for you. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, you got to sit up in your house and bake cookies and knit and quilt. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is you can't teach anybody anything if you don't make yourself available.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, we want to and get out of this spirit of passing the buck. Because, you know, apparently, you know, if they were, you know, well, that's something they mama ought to taught them. You know, they mama should teach them that. Well, apparently she's not doing it.
Right.
Okay.
Because if she was doing it, then they would know better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, dude, like you said, do you have to beat that child up? Nope. But what you do have to do, like Evangelist Carpenter said, you have to consider the source. You have to look at the backstory sometimes. You have, that will help you to be patient. Be patient. And be more compassionate.
Love
and to be more understanding. And to be more gracious. See, we can never get, just because we're Christians, too many of us older, a lot of us older ladies, instead of getting more, you know, instead of us showing humility, showing, really saying, letting them know we've been walking with Jesus for a long time. No, they get haughty. They get spirits of entitlement. They think they can just talk to people any kind of way because they're a certain age. No, you can't.
No.
No, you can't.
No.
No, you can't. And let me tell you something, sister. You can't, you know, why is it that if your daughter get pregnant, if that woman's daughter get pregnant, then she's a trialer. But if your daughter gets pregnant, she made a mistake. No, baby, they're the same. They're the same. They're the same.
Right.
They're the same.
Same. That's right.
Exact same. Neither one of them married.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we're saying. Mm-hmm. We got to stop all this. You know, justifying and making excuses.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to roll up our sleeves and do the work. We don't want to have these hard conversations like Evangelist brought us tonight. We don't want to do, a lot of us don't want to do that. Well, like I said, we're going to do it here, and we're going to do it until Jesus comes back or he says stop. So we just want you to know that you don't have to remain in the sin that you're in. You can't come up out of any kind of reputation because God makes you a new creation.
Yeah.
Behold,
all
things are passed away and things become new, baby.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. When you get real with God and God comes alive in you, I don't care who you ran with. When they look at you, they're going to see the difference. They're going to know the difference.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so different. But they cannot deny that ain't nobody but God working in you.
Amen.
Let God fight your battle with your naysayers. Let God fight your battle with those that want to keep you down.
Yes.
Let God do it. Turn it over to him. and pray for them. Pray for them. We got to pray for one another. We really do.
Yeah.
And we've got to start taking the authority that God gave us in his holy word.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stand on that. And we have to declare and decree that. We have to let the enemy know, no, enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Right.
We're not having it. We're here for the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you're not a part of that. So my sisters, please, I implore that you help one another, love one another, be patient with one another. And, you know, and every time you engage with one another, it doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to bring your coffee-sized table Bible to the party. Sometimes just sitting down having a conversation, I hear Pastor Vanessa say this all the time, you know, you have to actually listen to people, actively listen to people.
Yeah.
And before we open our mouths, we need to pray and then hush until the Lord tell us what to say. Because some of us want to rush in. We're quick to rush. Well, you know, if you hadn't did this and you hadn't did that and this went, but it did. What do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
How does the Lord walk them up out of it now? What can we do to help put them back in right standing? That should be our attitude. That should be our heart set.
Yes.
And it's only when we start caring about others more than we care about ourselves, when we start truly seeing each other as this is my sister, this is my pastor mama sister friend, this is my mother sister friend, this is my apostle mother sister friend, when we start just understanding that when we come together in a sisterhood, we are so much stronger. We are so much wiser and better because we have the collaboration of experiences and testimonies and prayers. Hallelujah. And we do believe that prayer changes things.
Amen.
So we do ourselves a great
Amen.
Service when we come together in sisterhood and in brotherhood and truly be the Christians that God called us to be. Because, whether Christians, some Christians believe that Christians should be Christians, God does.
Whether
some of us believe that, you know, well, we can call ourselves Christians, but we just going to be Christians in name only. That's not the way God rolls. God rolls. Like Apostle Zeta said, like I heard it said, like I heard evangelists say, be ye holy because I'm holy.
Yes.
You cannot be called the righteousness of God if you walking around living like the devil.
That's right.
You're not going to be kept in no perfect peace if your mind is on everything but God.
But peace.
You know, how can you have joy if you a drama stir, if all you want to do is be wrapped up in some drama? So see, we need, and for those of us that know better, we need to help others to do better. So I want to thank you all for listening again. So blessed by everybody in your comments. Grateful to God just to be able to have these conversations. And I'm so blessed that they are global. They do go out all over the world because we have to think about it. We have to start looking at how will this play out in foreign countries. You know, they might have different circumstances. They might be going through different things. Yeah, that may be true, but God's word is still the same. So on behalf of myself and all the anointed servant leaders that were present to, I want to just thank again, one more again, my beautiful sister, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter, Mother Mitchell, hallelujah, Apostle Zeta, Pastor Vanessa, you made the program so much richer. I really want to appreciate you and everybody for listening. I pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. On tomorrow, you will be able to hear Pastor Vanessa as she has been doing a phenomenal job. She's been in right in the middle middle of a series, or she's doing a series on healing through forgiveness. You know, how to forgive when you can't forgive. Hallelujah! And that, you know, that's another thing. We're so easy, quick to offend, get offended, and I'm not telling them anything. You know what I mean? So we need, it all goes together. It all works together. And if you just continue to walk with us, you will see that and know that. So tomorrow, listen to Pastor Vanessa. Our sister brings it. She brings it precept upon precept. So if anybody has a problem with it, I suggest you go up there and talk to God, because that's all she's telling you is what he said. Hallelujah. And then on Friday, we're going to let the, we're going to have my brother Rick Altman on, and he's going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. And it's going to be from a very perspective that I don't think you've heard before. And that's what we like to do here on Spirit Alive. We like to make you think. We like to make you dig deeper. On Saturday, please be sure to join Minister Adam Tuggle. That's our little brother, Minister Adam, for the summit. Yeah. He's on at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time every Saturday morning. So if you know why you up with your vacuum cleaner, or you up with your, you know, doing your morning chores, put your headphones on, listen to the young minister, and I'm sure it will bless you. So on behalf of myself and all the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, we want to say continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Daughters of Naomi and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, and God bless you, family. I sure do love you. God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless. Love you.
Good night.
Love you. Good night.
Good night.